As we continue in worship, we're going to be turning to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. And while you're turning in your Bibles, let me go ahead and take our time to the Lord. Father, we know that you give, that you are a giver, that it is through you and by you, the author and perfecter of our faith, that we come to faith, that it is through you that we come to understanding and knowledge about who we are and who you are, how to live. Father, it is you that directs our life as your people. And we pray that you would be directing us. Help us to be as Paul encourages Timothy to stay on track, to remember those things that you have given us, to remember our purpose, that, Lord, we are not of this world, that we are those who are journeying through this life, bound for the promised land. Land which we have not seen, but we have had inklings of it. Land which we have heard about and we anticipate. As foreigners in this world, Lord, we realize that we are in a battle. And we pray that you would be working within us, preparing us for that battle, that we would not be turned aside, be turned away, be distracted from that which you've given us to do. And yet it is so easy. Help us, we pray. Go before us now, that even now we wouldn't get distracted. For yours is the glory and the power. In the kingdom forever. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight. Paul begins his exhortation to Timothy in verse 18 with this command. To follow Paul's argument, to follow Paul's reasoning, to follow his instruction. We keep time and time again returning to the English classroom. I know I hit on it, and I know I'll hit on it again, because the word this is a demonstrative pronoun. When we see the word this, we need to look for its antecedent. We need to look for, to answer the question, what command is Paul talking about? Often when you are looking and you're reading and doing your personal devotions, most typically you can simply look to the present verse for an answer. And I'm going to, for instance, look at verse 15. There is no this in verse 15, but it is the same. It's not a demonstrative pronoun, but it is also a pronoun that needs a antecedent. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm going to stop right there. Just like the word this, the word it needs an antecedent. And right, the antecedent of it in verse 15 is right there. It is a trustworthy statement. What is a trustworthy statement? Right there. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You could rewrite this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners is a trustworthy statement. That's what Paul's getting at. That it refers to something and it needs an antecedent. This, it needs an antecedent. They refer to something. But the antecedent of this, in verse 18, this command is absent in verse 18. We could read through verse 18, and you have this commandment, and is in accordance with to the prophecies that were given to Timothy. And by these prophecies, Timothy, may you fight the good fight. That's what Paul's getting at. But there's nothing in verse 18 regarding this command that Paul's talking about. What does this relate to? There's no antecedent in verse 18. Well, another possibility for finding an antecedent is look to the previous verse. And there's other times, and I'm not going to go into them all, but there's previous times where the antecedent was right there in the previous verse. But verse 17 is a doxology. There's no command there. And even if you went through the verses previous to 17, there's no command there also. I was looking. I was trying to find it. Because that was the first thing I did when I looked at verse 18 is, what command is Paul talking about? And I kept reading through. Can't find it. Well, you can keep going back and back and back. And I want to say eventually you will find it. But it's not in the usual place. Yeah. And in fact, looking in the NASB, you would be hard-pressed to find it. The NASB did a poor job of helping us in verse 18 figure out what command Paul's talking about. Because the command is in verse 3, and it talks about the command in verse 3 and in verse 5. But the NASB, verse 3, says, and I'm starting a little ways in, remain on at Ephesus so that you may... Here's the word, instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. There's the command. Verse 5, but the goal of our instruction, and I'm stopping right there. Here in these two verses, Paul is talking about the command, which he comes back to in verse 18. This command I entrust to you. He said the NASB does a poor job. The New King James does a much better job of helping point us to the command. Verse 3 uses, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And verse 5 then says, the purpose of the commandment, even not perfect, but verse 18 says, this charge I commit to you. Now, the NIV, if you're following along in an NIV, each one of those that we have instruction, and command, they are all three command. Really helps us just see right there. Oh, I'm looking for a command. This command, Timothy, I give to you. What command? Well, let's just look back and, oh, here it is, verse 3, verse 5. He's talking about it. The ESV doesn't use command, it uses charge. But same idea. The words are aligned because in the Greek, all three are the same word. And it's a word we've looked at before. Yeah. Parangelo. And I say it that way because I like to get the angel in there. It's a message. There's a message in this. And we've looked at the word before, I said. And it's a military word. It's a word that is used of the instruction that it comes from the commander during a war. And he gives his underlings, he gives them a command, and they pass it down the line to change the battle strategy. It's a command, and it comes from warring and from the military. And so that the combatants would receive instruction because it was just handed off to them from the guy next to him. Hey, the general wants us to work our way to the left. Oh, got it. And he tells the next guy, work our way to the left. Well, Paul's saying, hey, I have a command for you, Timothy, and I have a charge, and this is what it is. I left you in Ephesus to instruct, to charge certain men not to teach false doctrines. And Paul, in verse 18, is getting back to that charge, to that command. Now, in fact, if we remember our study, verses 3 through 11 were specific about that charge, kind of laying out what was going on in Ephesus, and Timothy, what you need to do, and make sure that you stay on track with the gospel. Don't get distracted. These individuals, these certain men, they're getting distracted. They got distracted by the law and how the law fits in with the gospel. And you need to stay at Ephesus and instruct these individuals who got distracted to get them back in line. But it's funny. Then Paul got distracted. You come to verses 12 through 17, and Paul moved right away from that command. Yeah, verses 3 through 11, we're talking about the command. Timothy, this is what you do in Ephesus. This is what I want you to really push for. This is how I want you to be engaging there in Ephesus, in the church there in Ephesus. And then all of a sudden, Paul just whoop, veers right off that command. It is so easy to get distracted. Our minds do it naturally. I put it in my notes even. Don't say naturally because it's not natural. Our minds get distracted unnaturally. I say unnaturally because I cannot say that in the garden, in Genesis 2, the man and the woman ever got distracted from their purposes. Scripture declares that God is a God of order and not chaos. In fact, the creation narrative demonstrates God is bringing order out of chaos. The very first day, he makes a distinction of day and night. He makes the very first day, before it was all darkness. And then he brings order in. He says, okay, I'm going to have days now. And you work your way through, and there was the water, and God says, well, there needs to be order here. I'm going to have land and water, and I'm going, and he just starts bringing order into the whole creation. God is a God of order, but distraction is a form of chaos. I'm just going to point this out. I'm guessing my wife will enjoy this narrative. She'll get a little inkling into the way my brain works. I'm trying to order my garage. I have all this stuff laid out. This goes here. That goes there. Oh, here's this. I've been looking for this. But what's it doing in my garage? It clearly goes in the house. Take it into the house. Where should I put it in the house? Well, I'll take it down to the basement. Oh, it's not going to fit on a shelf in the basement. Well, if I rearrange some of the stuff on the shelves in the basement, I can get it to fit. Oh, mac and cheese is on this shelf. If I take this mac and cheese, I can make room for this thing from my garage and put it down there. But you know what? It's getting kind of close to lunchtime, actually. Mac and cheese sounds wonderful for lunch. And by the time I get this made, it'll be lunchtime, and then we can sit down and eat lunch. That was good lunch. Now, what was I doing? You ever get there? Distraction is chaos. Ever try to figure out in a conversation how you got onto a certain topic by going back. Well, this connected to that, which connected to this, which... How do we get on this topic? Chaos. Distraction. Well, and here in Timothy, we see that the apostle isn't immune from this. He's not immune from distraction, even trying to bring order and understanding so that we here can understand verse 18. We see that there's a little bit of disorder and chaos when Paul uses this command, because we try and look for this command and we have to go and look for it, well, way back in verses 3 and 5 just to figure out what he's talking about in verse 18. Paul was focused on the command to Timothy, the command to instruct certain men, instruct them in sound doctrine, to teach sound doctrine, to get them back in line. And it was going really well all the way until verse 11. And that's when the problem started. In verse 10, Paul mentions sound teaching. And in verse 11, he describes that sound teaching, which he's telling Timothy that these certain men should be instructed in. And he says the sound teaching is according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. And if he had stopped right there, I think he would have continued his thought. He would have continued. There would never be like this distraction, this veering off. But he goes on and to clarify the statement, and he adds to the sound teaching according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, he adds to it, with which I have been entrusted. Like a dog walking obediently by his by its owner, which sees a squirrel and all of a sudden turns and like takes off after the squirrel, Paul sees the mercy and grace of God, and wow, he's gone. The mercy of God in the gospel overwhelms him. And he moves from the subject of the command to Timothy right away into his own experience with the mercy of God. Can you believe that I've been entrusted with this good news, this gospel? I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was a violent aggressor. But God had mercy on me. Wow, let me tell you about this mercy. It's so amazing. And that's where he goes. But now he's back to the command in verse 18. Unanimously, every commentator I read said that verses 12 through 17 were a digression for Paul. And I want to say that they were all copying Calvin. Because this is what Calvin writes. All that Paul had introduced about his own person, and I'm going to put in verses 12 through 17, may be viewed as a digression from his subject. The subject through that he began was this command. And all of a sudden, 12 through 17, when he gets onto his own person, the mercy and grace that are there, he digressed. Now, digressing isn't a bad thing. It's just getting off subject. It's not a bad thing. However, for us, 2,000 years after Paul wrote, it might have been helpful with Paul to begin verse 18 with the... just stating, but I digress. Oh, I understand. He was on topic, now he's off topic, now he's trying to get back on topic. And so when we go back and look for this command, we can say we need to go before he started digressing. His writing this command might have been what Paul's way of saying, let's get back on topic. Let's get back on topic, on track. And even this this distraction that Paul experienced is exactly what Timothy might struggle with. Timothy, you might struggle with getting distracted. Okay, son, this charge I have given you of instructing these certain men, it's not going to be easy, Timothy. I wondered if Paul ever called him Timmy. Timmy, it's not going to be easy. But I don't want you. I don't want you to mishear me. I never claimed it was going to be easy. But Timothy, don't move away from the command. Son, you need to stay focused. Make sure you're doing what I commanded you to do. Because there's another possibility. It's the exact possibility I'm telling you to instruct against. And it's written in verses 6 and 7. For some men, straying from these things, the sound doctrine, have turned aside to fruitless discussions. And Timothy, I don't want that to happen to you. So this command, stay on track. Don't get distracted. I don't want you to be like this. This command that I entrusted you with, this command to stay in Ephesus to teach these certain men, Timothy, my son, it's in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you. It is in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you. Timothy, you're the perfect person for this. And the command lines up with the prophecies that were made about you. And Paul points Timothy to something that belongs specifically to Timothy. The prophecies previously made concerning you. Timothy, these prophecies belong to you. They're not something given to you by me as your father in the faith. These are not things that were given to you from me as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the command of God, our Savior, and Jesus Christ, our hope. It's not coming from me, Timothy. The command I gave you, yes, it came from me. But it's in line with what was given to you, not from me, but one who is in higher authority than me. Not calling you, Timothy, to remain focused on the course of this command by my own authority, but I'm calling you to remain focused on the course of this command by God's authority. Remember the prophecy about you. They're right in line with what you're doing. Would have maybe been helpful if we had some idea what those prophecies were. But we are never told what the prophecies that are Timothy's are about. We have no clue. They're not laid out here or anywhere else. And it was probably purposeful. Because these prophecies don't concern anyone else. Timothy, these prophecies are concerning you and your work and your duty in the kingdom of God. Now, I said they're not laid out. We do have a little bit of an inkling maybe of what... First Timothy chapter 4, so you're just going to turn one page ahead, verse 14. Paul gets back to these prophecies. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery or elders, however you want to translate that word. John Stott in commentating on Timothy's prophecy, says this is speaking of his ordination and the charge that was given him at his ordination. And remember, Paul picked Timothy up and took him along on his missionary journeys. Now Paul is leaving him, he's not as a missionary, now he's leaving him as a leader in the church in Ephesus, getting the leadership in the church in Ephesus in line with the gospel. And so, John Stott says, the prophecies, the message that came to Timothy from God were probably part of his ordination, that work that he was going to do that only God knew he was going to be doing. But Timothy, it's easy to get distracted. Don't get distracted. Remember what is yours, and specifically yours, from God. It's almost like Paul saying, Timothy, back when you first came in, when you were charged, before I ever gave you this charge in Ephesus, you were charged by God. You were given a purpose statement by God in how to work out your calling in the kingdom of God. And I want you, in regards to the charge I'm giving you at Ephesus, to remember what those prophecies that were given to you. Remember that which came from God. Remember the purpose statement, your specific purpose statement from God. Don't get distracted. Make sure that you're remembering those prophecies. And remember those prophecies as I'm giving you the charge, the command, the instruction to teach certain men. If we read this as an ordination, we might think that Paul's letter to Timothy here and in this specific verse in 18 doesn't apply to the rest of us. Most of us here are not ordained into the ministry. Most of us have not been had the hands of the elders laid upon us for a charge. And yet, I would say that we still have a purpose from God. And not just what I say, I am declaring it. You have a purpose from God. And you do have something you can look back to. In the same way, Paul says to Timothy, look at those prophecies that were about you, that dealt specifically with you in regards to your duties in the kingdom. I want to say to each and every one of you, you have something you can look to. First and foremost, look to the very first declaration of your faith. I believe Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. That did something. Because at that very moment, the Holy Spirit came in, and whatever sin you were confessing then, if you look back from this point in your life back to that point, you see that there were a whole lot more sins that you forgot to mention. And the Holy Spirit's been working in you and saying, I'm going to confess this and this and this. And you're looking over a lifetime of mile markers of things that that God has been addressing in your life. But it's not just that. God, in instruction to his bride, the church, gave some ordinances. He said, go and baptize individuals. And so we, as believers who have on the declaration of our faith in Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, we ought to have been baptized. Let me throw this out. If you haven't been and you are believing Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, by all means, you need to be baptized, because this isn't coming from the Baptist pastor or the Baptist church. This is coming from Jesus, who said, go and be baptized and and for his people to go out and baptize those upon their faith. So for us, looking back, while we're not using it as the foundation of our purpose and that which was given to it, we can look at it as a mile marker on our journey. We can look back to a baptism that said, I not only believe this in my heart, but I declared it publicly that this is what I believe. Well, that's way back in the back. But God gave us another ordinance, an ongoing ordinance. We're not to get baptized over and over again, one time. But communion is a repeated ordinance. We go back and we look at that that communion time and we say, not only did I believe way back then, but I am continuing to believe. And I even, in my faith in Christ Jesus, know I have a future hope that one day I'm going to eat this meal, this bread, and drink this wine with my Lord and Savior because He promised it. You do have something that is each and every one of yours that is a ongoing reminder of your purpose. What about the continuing prophecies? Oh, here we need to be careful. Continue prophecies? Oh, you're not one of those kind, are you? No. I just received this morning a word from the Lord for you. Yeah, I did. A whole bunch of them. Because He laid it out. Here is the full revelation of God, what He has given us. And when I am preaching, I am continuing to bring the word of the Lord. That's what a prophecy is. In the Old Testament, it was a word from the Lord. And this morning, I am bringing a word from the Lord. Don't get distracted. Remember your purpose. Remember what you have been called to. What have we been called to? Well, the very last thing that Jesus mentioned before He ascended in the book of Matthew, the very last thing that Matthew wanted to leave His disciples with. Matthew 28, verse 18. He lays out this. And Jesus came and said to His disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am always with you, always, even to the end of this age." Before I go on to the purpose, there is another thing that we can hold on to. Jesus says, "I will not leave you at all." And furthermore, that He has all authority and power that has been given to Him. And He now is our Lord and Savior. And so as we're looking back on something that has been given to us, we have been given the Lord Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit, and we have been given a truth statement that He isn't going to leave us, that He is always going to be present with us. You want to hold on to something to keep you from getting distracted? Remember that Jesus is always with you. Now, let's move forward into that purpose. We are called to be going out and baptizing individuals on the declaration of their faith and then going on and making them disciples, teaching them all that has been commanded and taught to us. That's really nice. It doesn't matter where you are in the scheme of the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter how far along you are on your journey. Each and every one of us has something we can teach. If all you have is the minimum of what the thief on the cross had, who is next to Jesus, you have something to tell your unbelieving neighbors, your co-workers. This guy who had nothing else, he's dying for his sins. He's actually becoming an evangelist to the thief on the other side and saying, "Hold on. Do you not see what's going on?" Ever notice the very first evangelist is a guy dying on a cross? But it's easy to get distracted, isn't it? We're in a church and we're in the middle, and you walk in and there's building going on. So what's going on in your church, Pastor? Well, we knocked out some walls, and in knocking out some walls, we found a train car. It's awesome, and we're hoping to redo the floor. These are good things. Some cool things. But it's not the purpose of our church. And if this becomes our goal and our focus, well, we just want to finish up the church, and then we got distracted. Because nowhere are we said, make sure the building is perfectly fine. Rather, it says, make sure each and every one of us is fine. Make sure each and every one of us is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And once you're doing that, go and tell your neighbor and your coworker and your family members, because God desires that none should perish. And maybe you've been in that mindset where the construction was most important, and well, let's just put our energies there. And God doesn't want our energies there. None of us knows what tomorrow brings. And I'm just going to kind of move forward. It's easy to get distracted because we have an enemy and we're in warfare. And Paul goes there right here in verse 18. This command I entrusted to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight. This life is a battle for Christians. And if we think that we are not in a battle, we already got distracted. If we don't think we're being persecuted, we've already been distracted. Because Jesus says, they persecuted me. Be sure they will persecute you. And yeah, we're not feeling it like they are in the Middle East, where you deny Jesus or die. But there is an ongoing denial of Jesus Christ even here. Get in line with society. I want to be on the right side of history, and you're on the wrong side of history. You need to move your allegiances over. And if we start going in that direction, we're getting distracted, because it's not what's in line with Scripture. And we do not base our morality on what is decided by sinful humans as what is the best morality to have. But we are directed by Christ Jesus and God, which has been revealed to us. Brothers and sisters, we are in a war. Our enemy comes to kill and destroy. And it might not kill your faith. Might not destroy your faith. But he doesn't have to. He just has to get you to start focusing on the wrong thing. Move your alignment. Timothy, I don't want this to happen to you. I don't want this to happen in the church in Ephesus. I don't want it to happen to Christ's bride at all. In fact, this command I've given you so that it won't happen. And remember all that has been given to you that goes right along with this purpose. Remember all that's yours. Brothers and sisters, remember all that's ours in Christ Jesus. Not just the assurance of our salvation, but our purpose as God's people. And we need to start thinking about the fact that we are in a war. Because if we don't think we're in a war, we can't fight a good fight. We'll pick this up next time. Because if you notice, verse 18 ends with a comma, so we're going to be right back here. God willing, we'll be right back here. Without getting distracted, we pray. Father, thank you. We thank you for Paul's words to Timothy, that somehow in your omniscience, your sovereignty, you not just deliver to Timothy and to Ephesus, but to us here in this room in Rollins. That your word continues to speak, and when your word is rightly preached, it is the same as you speaking. And Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds have been spoken to by you. Go before us this week as we think about in our own lives ways we've gotten distracted, ways we've taken even good things and made them higher priority things. Father, help us, we pray, for your glory. Amen.